Praise the name of Jesus. You all ready for the word? Yes. How many of you have been experiencing open doors already? Even last year, closed doors, open doors. Remember this, the theme for this year is the key of David. Revelations chapter 3, look up here on the screen. Revelations chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "This thing says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Of all the seven churches, only to the church of Philadelphia, the church that receives no rebuke of all the seven churches, there is one more church that receives no rebuke, and that's Smyrna. But this is the only church that receives no rebuke but praises from our Lord Jesus Christ. And for the longest time, I've always, in my heart of hearts, desired that New Creation Church be a Philadelphia church. Amen. Among all theologians, you know, they all agreed that Philadelphia is the best church. And the seven churches are a picture of the seven different moves of God, all right, in the body of Christ, represented by the seven churches down through this 2,000 year of history. We are now at the end because Philadelphia is the sixth one. And then we have Laodicea. And Laodicea is a church that's proud, self-satisfied. Although they are rich materially, they do not know they are poor spiritually. All right? They do not know Jesus in a personal way. In fact, to the church of Laodicea, Jesus is standing outside. Revelation 3:20, same chapter, and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We use that as a salvation verse, but actually, that is a verse that is used for the church of Laodicea. All right? There's one door that Jesus will not open, though he has the key of David. And that's the door of your life, because the knob is on the inside. Amen? There's no knob outside. Only you can open the door to Jesus. Even though he has the power, he will not break down the door to come in. Amen. But let me tell you this. I need to warn you. If Jesus comes in, abundant life comes in with him. When Jesus comes in, health and healing comes in with him. When Jesus comes in, supply and abundance comes in with him. When he was born, his family was poor. I know some preachers don't agree with that, but let me tell you this. Joseph and Mary, all right, they offered at the baby's dedication, a pair of doves, all right? That is the category of the poor, the poor's offering. The rich bring a bullock, all right? But the poor bring a pair of pigeons or doves. But when Jesus was born, all right, the Bible tells us, wise men saw his star from the east. Now, within 2 years, they made their way to Jerusalem. It was not a Christmas time that they came. He was not in the manger. Read carefully. The wise men came to them in the house, the Bible says. They were already in the house. Jesus was slightly older. And they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember this. The moment you receive Jesus, amen, provisions start flowing into your life. Amen. When Jesus was passing by some fishermen, their business was catching fish, selling them, and they had a partnership. Peter was with Andrew and his brothers. In fact, the Bible says he beckoned his partners. And do you remember the story how they caught nothing the whole night? And Jesus said to them, "Launch out into the deep and cast down your nets for a catch." And now they cannot bring up the fish because it was so plentiful. Their nets began to break. Finally, they got the fish on board. Their boats began to sink. Remember this, when Jesus comes into your life, all right, abundance comes in. You cannot show me from the Bible. I know tradition says, you know, and people, when you talk about like things like this, some people say, that's a prosperity church, all right? They can say what they want to say. The Bible is the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible, all right? Christian religion will tell you, all right, it's holy to be poor. All right? Money is the root of all evil. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is a good servant, but a lousy master. Amen? Amen. People misquote the Bible, and the devil wants you poor, broke, sick, and miserable. God wants you well. When Jesus comes into your life, you never find one time Jesus calling a man and say, you are too healthy, receive some leprosy. If you find that in the Bible, I'll give you $10,000. I promise you that. All right? Jesus never took something from someone without enriching the person. When a boy came to him and gave him his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus blessed the multitudes with that 5 loaves and 2 fish with 12 baskets full left over, church. Amen. And I'm sure the boy went back with 1 basket full. I'm here to tell you that his provisions are abundant. He never takes from you only to multiply back. And he's always healing. You never find him making people sick. The devil makes people sick. Call us a healthy church, never call us a sick church. Call us a happy church, never call us a depressed church. Because the Bible says, if two shall agree on earth, they shall be done. Amen. Amen, church. And I've said time and time again, we're not talking about, in fact, there are people who are rich materially, and there are many of them here in Singapore and all over the world that's watching me. But we're not interested just in material, you know, abundance. It's important to have more than enough to be a blessing. The poor cannot help the poor. All right? But the thing I've said so many times is this. There are many people who have plenty of money who are poor. There are poor men who have plenty of money. That's a definition of poverty. Amen? It is what, it's not what comes to you. It is what goes through you that makes you truly rich. Amen? The, you know, in the Bible, even the land of Israel teaches us there are 2 big bodies, minus the Mediterranean Sea, of course, on the west. But in the land itself, there are 2 large bodies. One is the Lake Kinneret, all right, the Sea of Galilee. And the other one is the Dead Sea in the south. The Dead Sea is dead because it has inflow, but no outflow. No giving, no pouring out, no serving, no giving. It's dead. Nothing living can exist. No fish. There's no fish in the Dead Sea. But in the north, yonder, in Galilee, you have the Sea of Galilee. There's inflow and there's outflow. Amen, church? So I'm here to tell you, when he opens a door, it's always healing. When Jesus opens a door, it's always provision. When Jesus opens a door, it's always deliverance. Amen? When he shuts a door, it's always for your good. Amen? He shuts the door. In fact, in the original Greek, all right, he who has the key of David, who is always habitually opening, and no one repeatedly closes, and he's continually opening, all right, and he's continually shutting, and no one habitually closes or opens what he shuts. It's a constant there. It's a continuing sense. So right now, as I speak, doors are being opened to you. Amen. Amen. So why is it that Jesus appears to this church as the key of David, of all the 7 churches? And that's the truth for this year. It's not like, Pastor Prince, you know, I don't believe in the theme of the year. Yeah, most likely you don't believe also in celebrating anniversary with your wife. All right? Every day is an anniversary, you say. I pity your wife. Some people say, every day is Christmas. You know, I pity their children. Because the thing is that God understands human nature. We need to focus on something. When God gives us the theme of the year, by no means is God saying, restful increase is over. Grace is over. No, of course not. We add to it, folks. And because we are people who are, you know, like we say, one-minded, all right? We can focus on one thing at a time. God gives us a focus this year so that we, when God opens a door, you notice his hand. Because it's a year of open doors. When God shuts a door, you will also give glory to God. Amen. All right, so the Lord spoke to me and the Lord says, put a theme for the year that I will give you to the church, so the church may see my hand, all right, throughout the year and give me praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So here we are, the year of the key of David. I will never have dreamed, all right, that this will be the key for this year. Now remember this. Remember this. The name David is mentioned here. The key of David. In Isaiah 22:22, it says here, look up here. And I will lay upon him, or put on his shoulder, the key of the house of David. Notice the phrase, the key of the house of David. the key of the house of David. House of David. What is the house of David? In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it tells us a promise that God says, and I'll pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. You know, grace is not a teaching. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It is also the spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of grace. It is not a question of how much of the grace teaching you understand. It is, do you have the spirit of favor? Do you have the spirit of grace? Amen. You see, I've been criticized by people, by some of the experts. But the more they criticize, the more God opened doors for me. So at the end of the day, people who criticize me can be more eloquent than me, better than I can. They know revelations in the Bible that they believe God shows them. But God gives me the platform. God gives me the influence. God doesn't give them. So I don't have to counter what they say. I just keep on preaching, keep on shining for the glory of Jesus. Always don't forget that it is God who opens and no one shuts. Remember this, all right? You don't have to be angry, bitter, judgmental. When people start criticizing you, start saying things about you, the dog can bark at the moon just shines. Keep on shining, church. Keep on shining for the glory of God. Amen. And let people see the blessings of God on your life. They can say what they want, you know, as long as the blessings of God is on you. Amen. And it's a spirit of favor. It is something that you cannot put your finger on it, but you know that person has something, that lady has something, that man has something. It's the spirit of favor, the spirit of grace. And God promised he will pour on what? The house of David. And David, for one, he understood the favor of God. He understood the favor of God. When the favor of God is on you, the spirit of grace and supplication is one and the same. Spirit of grace and supplication. Supplication is what you bring before God. When you experience grace, all right, it translates into prayer to God and praise to God, worship to God. The word thanksgiving, all right, is actually the word, or praise, thanksgiving, is the word eucharist. Eucharist in Greek, which means charis is there. The word charis is Greek for favor, for grace. Amen. When you give thanks, you are flowing in grace. You are walking in the spirit of grace. If you are full of thanksgiving to God, you are in the spirit of grace. Can I have a good amen? And if you look at David, one thing that characterizes David's life, anyone can see that, is praise, thanksgiving, and worship. In fact, David built a tabernacle for God at a time, remember this, the tabernacle at that time was erected first, all right, at Gilgal, and then later on a more permanent stay for a while over at Shiloh, and then from Shiloh, okay, it was brought to Gibeon, and there you have the tabernacle of Moses, all right, it was at Gibeon. Say Gibeon. Mount Gibeon. God raised David up to take the ark, which represents Jesus Christ, to Jerusalem. And there, David erected another tabernacle. All right, don't forget, the tabernacle of Moses was standing where? At Mount Gibeon. So the structure was there. It's a picture of religion, you know, Christian religion. For example, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the God of heaven through Jesus Christ. Are you listening, people? But what happened is tabernacle of Moses, they had all the structure. They had the entrance. They had the outer court. They had the holy place, the holy of holies. But the presence of God wasn't there. And the presence of God back then was typified in the Ark of the Covenant. Are you listening, people? Where is the Ark? David took it to Jerusalem. And there he erected a tabernacle called the Tabernacle of David. And David instituted 24 hours of praise and worship. Wow. How do you like that? he obviously has a revelation. When God says the key of David, it's got something to do with our flowing in this Eucharist, in this thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Are you listening? It seems like the more we pray and the more we worship, the more we praise, Jesus uses that key in your life. It's called the key of the house of David. Are you listening, people? And some people do not know how to praise. They don't know how to give thanks to God. They know how to grumble. They know how to complain. Smile at your neighbor and say, he's not talking about you. Don't worry. He's not talking about you. All right? They know how to complain. They know how to find fault. All right? And even in a good sermon, they are able to spit out the wheat and swallow the kernel, the chaff. There are people gifted like that. I didn't say that by mistake. I said it on purpose. There are people who are gifted in snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Even if something is good in a great place like this, they'll find something bad to say. Even if Pastor Prince preached a good sermon, they'll find something, you know, they don't agree with. Amen. And they'll focus on that. There's something wrong with that spirit. There's something wrong with that spirit. Amen. And that was what was wrong with the children of Israel in the wilderness. When God himself led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, they still found fault. And people like this, when they go to heaven, they'll say, God, your throne is too bright. Can you sort of turn it down a bit? All right? And God, the music is just too beautiful. All right? It's too peaceful here. Make some noise. You know, God, I don't like this. I'm telling you, the other alternative you won't like. If God sends you another place, I guarantee you won't like it. Amen. So that's human nature. We like to complain. It's not normal to praise. Are you listening? We spend time with our loved ones. It's not natural to praise. We have to teach ourselves to praise. People say, well, Pastor Prince, I just flow with the Spirit. I'll tell you what. Some people flow with the Spirit means I do what I desire to do at that moment. I'm telling you. You got to be careful when you hear people saying, I'm flowing by the Spirit. All right? Because sometimes they are flowing with what they like, what they don't like. They don't like something, they say, I'm not flowing. All right? I don't feel the Spirit saying something to bear witness. And it's all because of their likes and their dislikes. And I'm here to tell you, we got to learn to worship. We got to learn to praise. Why? It's not natural. It's not natural for human beings to praise. Since man fell, they found fault in every good thing. It's natural. When Adam fell, and God says, Adam, what have you done? Adam says, it was the woman that you gave me. Then God says to the woman, what have you done? The woman says, the snake beguiled me. So the first manifestation, all right, of the fallen nature is fault finding. All right? Grumbling, complaining, blaming other people, except yourself. So I'm here to tell you that when God said to me about the theme of this year, teach the people how to praise. Teach the people how to worship. And some people feel like, you know, Pastor Prince, there's no need to teach us. We know how to praise and worship. No, we need to learn. I don't have to teach you to complain. Just like I don't have to teach you 7 steps to complain. How many understand that? I don't have to teach when a child is growing up, I don't have to teach a child to defend himself, to say, no, it wasn't me. I didn't steal the cookies. The mouth all full of crumbles. All right, you don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to point fingers at others. Amen. You got to teach a child how to praise. You got to teach a child how to look to God and thank Him. Amen. So break out from this fleshly tendency to try to hold you back at the level that you are at. And let's press on to the level that God has for us this year. Can I have a good amen, church? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the tabernacle of David has no religion about it. It's direct access to the presence of God. See the tabernacle of Moses, when you look up here, all right, you've seen this picture before. All right, once upon a time, it was a place where God inhabited because the ark was there right in the Holy of Holies. Okay, so you enter in by the main gate and you're in the outer court. That's where the sacrifices are made. And then when you go into the tabernacle, is the holy place. And then the Holy of Holies, only the high priest can go once a year. Are you listening? But now, and this is what was at the Mount Gibeon, called the Tabernacle of Moses. It was there. The only thing is that the presence of God is missing. So a lot of people, they go to church. They don't mind the pastor preaching, all right, sharing. They don't mind some hymns and some songs and all that, but they don't want to encounter God's presence. We want the presence of God. We want the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Ark of the Covenant. One of the first sign that Solomon received wisdom when he woke up from his sleep, he asked God for wisdom. When God asked, "Ask what I shall give you." God made him the richest man that ever lived. All right? He asked God for wisdom. And when he woke up, the very first thing he did, he was actually at Mount Gibeon worshiping there when he received the dream. But the first thing, when he received wisdom, he left Mount Gibeon, the place of religion, and he went to Jerusalem where the ark was. His father had erected the tabernacle of David, and there he worshiped God. So the first sign of wisdom is that you start to relish, cherish, treasure the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Can I have a good amen, church? Amen. Your riches are for Him. Your life is for Him. Your family is for Him. Your health and strength is for Him. Hallelujah. Give the best to your master. And I'm telling you, he deserves the best. Amen. Now watch this. The tabernacle of David has no procedures. You see the ark there? The presence of Jesus in the Old Testament. He had 24 hours singing, playing of instruments, dancing before God. Now I want you to know the king. You can see the king kneeling down there, David. He's the greatest worshiper of all. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he knew that every time he worshiped God, every time he was in trouble, all right, whenever he sang psalms to God, he sang praises to God, God turned on the key. Amen. And new doors are open. Right now, he's being confined in a narrow space. He's being attacked on every side. It seems like there's no way out. David will give praise to God. He will sing psalms to God. And you know what? All of a sudden, there's a door open that wasn't there before. One time, the enemies, and in this case, it was King Saul that was pursuing David. He was pursuing David at a narrow ridge, all right, where there's a jagged cliff. It still exists in Israel, all right, the jagged cliff. And David was going this way, listen carefully, and Saul, David's enemy, all right, and the soldiers were going this way. They were pursuing David. They were just on the other side of the ridge. It was a ridge. And the moment the ridge comes to an end, David would have faced his enemy. Are you listening, church? But you know what happened? David started singing praises to God while he was walking along the ridge. And all of a sudden, God turned the whole thing around, and Saul turned around and went the other way. Are you listening, church? Another time, David's son Absalom usurped the father's throne. All right, ousted his father. His father went crying. Didn't want to fight. He could fight. He had the mighty man with him, but he didn't want to fight his own son. So he went crying, weeping, all right, up Mount Olives. And the Bible tells us the song that he sang at the time was, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head." And the Bible tells us, we know the psalms that he sings because if you have a good Bible, it tells you the psalms when he sang those psalms. David sang this psalm when he was in the cave. David sang this psalm when he was being pursued. All right, David sang this psalm when he feigned madness before King of Gath. It will tell you when he sang the psalms, when it came out of him. So when you learn to praise God, when David was up on Mount of Olives, the situation turned. All right, God put someone in the camp of Absalom, his son, who gave him bad advice. As a result, Absalom never succeeded to usurp successfully the father's throne. Church, I'm here to tell you, I don't care what is your trouble today. All right? What you need is an open door. And if you just forget your trouble, amen, just learn to worship God. Learn just to thank God. Learn to praise God. We saw last week, all right, at midnight, Acts 16, at midnight, Saul and Silas both were thrown into the inner dungeon, in the inner prison, all right, underneath where all the other prisoners were. All their waste matter would fall onto the inner dungeon. That's where Paul and Silas was. At midnight. Is there a midnight time in your life right now? Are you going through something hard, something difficult? Do you need God's miracle? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns to God. Amen. Acts 16, singing hymns to God. And I didn't realize that this word singing hymns, when I check it out in the Greek, literally it refers to Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. All right, the Hallel, they call it Hallelujah Chorus. Amen. It's sung during the feast days, the Pesach, the Passover, during the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles. And Paul and Silas sang with the words of David, yo, with the words of David. Because the Psalms I mentioned just now is written by David. So they sang with the words of David. You know, when David was in the cave, he wrote more than one song in the cave Adullam. One was which you sang just now. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Psalms 57. If you look at the title of Psalm 57, it says the Psalm of David when he was in the cave of Adullam. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, your faithfulness above the clouds. I will give thanks to thee. And there was a time, one of the lowest times of David's life. Are you listening, church? We're going to learn to sing with the words of David. They are anointed. It's not for no reason. It's called the key of David. God will lay upon his shoulder the key of the house of David. Are you with me, church? Amen. The key of the house of David. Now, there was a time in the early church when they were all quarreling, all right, about whether once the Gentiles received Jesus Christ, the non-Jews, whether they should keep the Ten Commandments, they should keep the law. And this argument became so severe, just like it is today, that they went to James, the senior pastor of the church of Jerusalem at that time. All right? It is called today the Jerusalem Council. It was a debate about whether you should keep the law or not after you are saved. And then Paul stood up and said, look, I preach to these Gentiles. They're not perfect. They're not circumcised. They do not understand the law that God has given to us. But you know something? God worked miracles in their life. Doesn't stop God from moving in their lives. And then finally, Simon Peter stood up and says, guys, let's stop arguing about this. You know how God used me, all right, to preach to Cornelius' house. Remember that? Okay, and finally, the senior pastor, James, stood up, the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. And this is what James said. After they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon, which is Simon Peter, has declared how God at first visited the Gentiles during Cornelius' incident to take out for them a people for his name. Out of them, a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree. Now, he's about to quote the Old Testament. He's about to quote the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 11. Just as it is written. Now, God is saying, now, quotation now from Amos. After this, I will return. God says, and I will what? Shout. Shout. Rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild its ruins, and I'll set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. There'll be a great harvest of souls when the tabernacle of David is restored. Amen. A great harvest of souls. Right now, in our ministry, we are seeing the greatest harvest of souls at any time of our ministry. We are seeing a great harvest of souls, even among the young people. It's a great harvest of souls. And why? God says, I'm rebuilding the tabernacle of David, and I'll rebuild its ruins, and I'll set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. So the senior pastor of Jerusalem quoted Amos saying that, hey, the tabernacle of David, which welcomed the Gentiles, all right, it's not just for that time, for that era. It's not a bygone era. Some of you are saying, Pastor Prince, why go to David? He's in the Old Testament. You don't understand, God is rebuilding the tabernacle of David now. And when we praise and worship, God will bring in the souls. I know many a times we hear we got to go out, preach the gospel, God bring in the souls. But I'm here to tell you, church, that one of the best ways to evangelize, God, Jesus didn't say, go out and do witnessing. Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be witnesses. You know what's doing witnessing and being a witness? Amen. Of course, we still do witnessing. When the door opens, go for it. Share the gospel. But more importantly, it's a life flowing with the abundance and the goodness of God's grace, God's favor, God's joy. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, a smiling Christian is the greatest advertisement of heaven. Say, a smiling Christian. Was that too long for you? Just say, it's good for Christians to smile, for believers to smile. Amen. We are saved. We are gloriously saved. So the tabernacle of David is not just for a bygone era. God promised in the last days he will rebuild the tabernacle of Moses. No. Tabernacle of David. He will repair its ruins. Which means what? We'll see what you're seeing around the world is happening already. All these decades you see up the life that you are in right now, the life that you are living. You are that generation that saw God rebuilding the tabernacle of David. Praise and worship has never been so abundant as it is now. But my concern right now is that we must not forget the Psalms of David. In fact, we are to worship with the words of David. Well, Pastor Prince, modern words can do also. Of course, I'm not belittling that. You can write in your own words. You can paraphrase some things. But the essence of your praise and worship, you cannot surpass David. In fact, after King Solomon, there were many other kings of Judah. Many of them, they shone for a while. But also many of them, they rebelled against God and worshiped idols. But the brightest testimony after King Solomon was King Hezekiah. He came to the throne at the age of 25 years old. He was a young man, all right? And the first thing he did was repair the house of the Lord and then restore the Passover, because all these years they have not celebrated the Passover. And not only that, he restored singing, praising, dancing 24 hours. The worshipers, he will appoint worshipers. Full-time job is to worship 24 hours a day. And I find that every time a person like David or a ministry like King Solomon, who praised the Lord for he is good, his mercy endures forever, and God filled his house until no one can stand. I find that every time praise and worship is going up to God, that is the greatest time of Israel's history. Their victory, their blessings, the amount of favor they receive. Are you listening, church? And I'm here to tell you, long before the devil steals your victory, he steals your song. He steals your praise. And slowly, he makes you say things normally when you are flowing with God, you would never say. You start criticizing people. You start finding fault. You're no more eating. You are tasting and spitting out. You find fault in everything. You become a very bitter person. And I'm concerned because you will grow up to be a very bitter old man in the next few years. That means you grow old fast. All right? As for us, we'll not be like that person. We'll continue to praise God. When we see our brother's faults, all right, we'll look for the goal. All right? Beyond the wood, we'll look for the goal beyond the splinter. Amen. We'll find something good to say. Amen. With God, we'll always be praising Him, being thankful, being aware of all the blessings of God in our lives. And there's no one better to learn from than David. Can we improve on the words of the sweetest psalmist of Israel? Can we improve on his words? No way. You know what Hezekiah did when he restored the praise and worship? Look at this. 2 Chronicles 29. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph, the seer. Now, David wrote most of the Psalms. Asaph wrote a few. But notice this king who lived a long time after David, the king, lived. All right? He wanted his praises, his worshipers, his Levites to sing with the words of David. And that's why God gives us the Psalms. Do you know Jesus was actually quoting the Psalms when he was on the cross? It seems like the greatest suffering that our Lord went through, what came out of his mouth was the Psalms. Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it goes to praise. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. That's the psalm that Jesus quoted on the cross. Something happens when you sing the words of David. I'm telling you, church, something happens inside you. Amen. All right? First of all, fear begin to melt away. You cannot psych yourself out of fear. Some of you today, you're afraid of the future. You're afraid, all right, of lack. You're afraid of losing your youth. You are afraid of some disease. You are afraid of losing the love of your loved one. You are afraid your friends will make fun of you. You are afraid of rejection. You are afraid of not having enough. You are afraid of yourself or what you will do. And then sometimes you're afraid because for a while, there's nothing to be afraid. But I'm here to tell you, the only fear that God wants you to have is the wholesome fear of the Lord, which is actually defined by Jesus as the worship of God. When the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness and the devil said, fall before me and worship me, Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. He was quoting from the Old Testament Deuteronomy, where it says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. But Jesus translated the fear of God as the worship of God. So there must be no fears in your life. But Pastor Prince, how do I get rid of fear? Learn from David. He had every reason to fear. David ran away from Saul. You know the story of David. I won't go into the today how David knocked down Goliath. All right. Now, David is a type of Christ. One of the clearest illustrations of Christ. He ran away from King Saul. He was rejected. When he was rejected, during the time of his rejection, there were men that came to David. This speaks of the time that we live in. When Jesus first came to Israel, he was rejected. And he became the bread of life to this dying world. Today, you and I, we are the ones that go to Jesus during the time of his rejection. And these are the people who came to David and they became mighty men. All of you mighty men, listen. We come to Jesus and one day David was enthroned as king. When David was enthroned as king, all those that came to him during his rejection, he gave them positions. One day our Lord will return and this earth will become once again the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, the Bible tells us. And he will reign from Jerusalem. Guess where you will be? You will reign with him. But meanwhile, he wants you to reign over your fears, over your inadequacies, over your anxieties and stress. You know, the other day I was talking to Pastor Mark, who was aware of a friend, a dear friend, who passed on to be with the Lord. I won't be mentioning names here. But just that the friend always talk about worried about his business, worried about this. And even in the hospital bed, he was telling Pastor Mark, I'm concerned about making payments on my business, the rental for his business, where it was and all that. And we were trying to, you know, to endeavor to tell him, do not worry, don't be stressed. In a short time, he had a heart attack, he passed on to be with the Lord. I'm here to tell you, church, okay, you cannot even entertain stress for 1 minute. It will destroy your body. It will destroy your relationships. All of a sudden, you say things to your wife or your husband you don't plan to say, but you were under stress. You say things to your children you didn't plan to say, all right, but because you were under stress. So how do I free from myself from fears, worries, stress? Pastor Prince, learn from David. It's in the words of David. The most quoted Psalms that you know, the world knows, is what? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not according to some people in the world, the Lord is my shepherd, I have plenty of wants. I shall not want means I shall not lack. Now, if you call that prosperity, guilty as charged. But David, the words of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. If you call that prosperity, my cup runs over, guilty as charged. Blame it on the one that loved me. My cup runs over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The Hebrew word means hunt you down all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Now, that's an amazing psalm for you to memorize and meditate on. is a wonderful psalm to raise your children on. Amen. Let me tell a true story. A man went to Israel from America. He was diagnosed with cancer. And apparently the cancer was inoperable, something like that. And it was severe. He went to Israel to just spend time with God. And there he began to see some sheep grazing. And God began to tell him this. God says, if you will meditate and feed and learn what Psalms 23 is all about, you'll be healed. And straight away, he began to look out for someone who can bring him among the sheep. He lived with the shepherds there. All right? Just like, cut a long story short, he went back to America, healed of cancer. And it's all based on one psalm, Psalms 23. Now, I received this testimony from a dear friend of mine. And those of you who may know him, Aryeh, a great man of God in Israel, a Jewish guy. I personally think he's directly from the line of David. He's Aryeh ben David, a tribe of Judah. And he's a wilderness man. He runs up and down the mountains like nobody's business. I mean, he's in his 50s, you know. He makes all the young people, you know, around us, including myself, pale in comparison. Aryeh told me this story of this man who was healed of cancer, just quoting, meditating, feeding on Psalms 23. Now, you don't need testimonies like this, do you? You need to know that if it's in the Word of God, the best love psalm, you know there's power in this psalm. Amen. But it's not just meant to lie within the pages of your Bible. Something happens when you quote with the words of David. All right? Jesus turns the key. If you are supposed to die, he shuts the door of death. And he turns on the door of life. And life more abundant. Amen. And when he opens, no one can shut. When he shuts, no one can open. All right, turn with me right now real quick to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, this is the song of David. When David, because you are very familiar with this song, so I'm going to use this song right now. David ran away from King of Gath. Now, don't forget Gath. Does that ring a bell? Gath, Goliath of Gath, the one that David killed. Now you find David, let me tell you a story real quick. This is a very sad time in David's life, all right, when he wrote this psalm. David was very, very, shall we say, he forgot about God. Remember when he came against Goliath, that 9-foot-plus guy? All right, he knocked him down with just one stone. He had 5 smooth stones, number of grace. He knocked down that Goliath without a weapon in his hand. There was no sword in David's hand. What happened to that David? All of a sudden, King Saul felt jealous of David, started throwing spear at David. Start hunting down David like a bird, you know. And David went into the wilderness. David was very discouraged. A few men followed David. And all of a sudden, David forgot to look to the Lord. It was one of the worst times of David's life. David went to a priest called Ahimelech. And at Nob. And there, he took the showbread. And he ate. He was hungry. And then David said this to the priest there. Do you have any sword? What happened to that David who knocked down Goliath without a sword? Just by saying, today the Lord will deliver into my hand. Is it possible sometimes we can come to a place where we used to be flowing in faith. We used to be full of praises for God. But now it's almost like even the feather knocks us over. You see, God and us, even though there are few, we are a majority. Without God, you have a million people with you. You are the minority. Amen. What happened to David now? He says, is there any sword? And then the priest says, there is a sword. The sword of Goliath whom you killed. We have it behind here. We kept it in a cloth. David says, give it to me. And can you believe? The priest brought David the sword and David looked at the sword and says, there is none like it. Oh, David, what happened to you? How are the mighty fallen from a high place? And David says, there's no sword like this. And David took the sword of Goliath. Remember this. he knocked down Goliath without sword. The sword was in Goliath's hand. The sword is so powerful, did not help Goliath. Sometimes we forget that the things the world uses that we think is benefiting them has not benefited them. The path that you're walking in has benefited you. But when you are weak in faith, you start thinking that their methods are better. Are you listening? And David fell so much so, the very next verse after he took the sword, the Bible says, David was afraid of Saul. That Saul will one day kill him. And David fled, guess what? To the king of Gath, my goodness, Goliath's king. Abimelech, another Abimelech is a generic term, like Pharaoh is a generic term. It's another Abimelech of Gath. The king of Gath, his name was Achish. And he went to seek refuge with the king of Gath, knowing that Saul would not go there. How are the mighty fallen? And it was there that some of Goliath's friends noticed, hey, looks very familiar, ruddy, curly locks. All right, the Bible says David killed Goliath, and it describes David. Looks very familiar. And they went to the king and said, is this David, the one of whom they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s? And David heard that, he was afraid. And when David was afraid, you know what he did? He started acting like a madman. This is what happens when your faith in God is no longer there. You become, are you mad? Yes. He lets his saliva run down, you know. And some of you can act better than me, okay? But, you know, turn to your neighbor. And this time he's talking about you, all right? And he was acting like a madman, scribbling on the gate and all that. And he was acting like a madman. So the king looked at him and said, this is David. Hey, he told his men. This is exactly in the Bible. You can read it, all right? Don't I have enough madmen around me already? You can read this in 1 Samuel 21, all right? And David was acting actually in wisdom, in a way, acting like a madman, not like David, all right? But how he has fallen. And we always end up like a madman. We ask ourselves, how come I'm here all of a sudden? Why am I in this place? This is a bad place to be in. It's a sinful place. What am I doing? And church, I'm here to tell you, that's what happens when you fall. And the Bible tells us, David wrote a psalm during this time. The very next verse, all right? This is where Psalms 34 was written. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So the Lord delivered him, and David went immediately to Adullam Cave. Look at this psalm. It has a subheading called A Psalm of David When He Pretended Madness Before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. All right? So he escaped. But it was after this he wrote this psalm. Notice where he departed to. Go to the story, 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave Adullam. We saw just now that he wrote more than one song in this cave of Adullam. Now, I have been in that cave in Adullam. In fact, you will see me preaching in that cave if you get that album series, Life in Israel. Part one, part two. I don't know which part is it, but you'll find one of them. I'm in the cave of Adullam, the very cave that David was in. And David went there. Don't forget, he's feeling lousy. He feels like a hypocrite. He's cast down. All right? He's dejected. Please, I want you to see as clearly as you can. How would you feel if you are God's anointed? You remember the oil was on you. You remember David remembered when Goliath fell at his feet. And now he's acting like a madman. How do you think you feel? As you have been driven away, right? You try to find a cave to lick your wounds. You are feeling self-pity. You are rejected. Even your own king and the entire Judah rejects you. Nobody believes in your calling. All right? You are dejected. You are downcast. What would you do? David wrote this psalm. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. The humble there is the word afflicted. Those who are afflicted will be glad. Now, go back to the cave Adullam. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone, say everyone, who was in distress, say distress. Everyone who was in debt, say debt. And everyone who was discontented, say discontented. Say DDD, the 3D army. I don't care if you come to church distress. Stress, the word stress. You come to church in debt. You are now in debt. You owe a lot of money. Or you come to church discontented. You have come to the cave Adullam. All right? Now, I'm not David. All right? Jesus is. He's the greatest son of David. And he's captain here. He is Lord here. Let's see what happened when they came to him. They came, they gathered to him. We are gathering today to Jesus Christ. All right? So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Just to let you know that these men who gathered to David, they became, it's like they were in distress. Jesus opens the door. And now they are people full of boldness, full of joy, full of peace. All right, those who are in debt, the Lord opened the door and now they are prospering. They become captains, literally. Amen. They become princes. And then they opened the door. Another one came out instead of discontented, happy, praising God in the tabernacle of David. See, church, there's something that happened here. How did David influence them? They came to David. David himself was dejected. He was downcast. He was full of fears that Saul will one day come and get him. Or the king of Gath will find him. He's afraid. He was in the cave because he was afraid. So what did he do? He offered up psalms to God. And I thank God that the psalms is written for us. Psalms 57 and Psalms 34. All right? Now, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Next. I sought the Lord. He heard me. Delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. These are the 3D army. They look, when he sang, David sang in that cave. He must have sung, church. He must have sung out loud. And all the men around him, those who are discontented. How about having a church full of people in debt, distressed, discontented? And you are the pastor. But David didn't look to the people. He looked to the Lord. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, he just praised the Lord. And the humble, the afflicted around him, those in debt, in distress, they heard. They heard him praise God. They saw his face become radiant. They saw as they looked to the Lord, his face became radiant. And they themselves turned to the Lord. Are you listening, church? Are you listening? And the Bible says, David says, this poor man cried out. He's talking about himself. And the Lord heard him and saved him what? Out of all his troubles. How many troubles will God save you out of? This is Holy Scripture. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God himself, which is a word that cannot be broken, the Bible says. And God's promise, he will save you out of all your troubles. Whether you are discontented, in debt, in distress. All right? Drop down. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him or worship him and delivers them. David was singing the psalm. He was afraid and he says, hey, wait a minute. Let me sing this. The angel of God surrounds me and delivers me. I'm not afraid of Saul no more. I'm not afraid of the king of Gath. I'm not afraid of anybody because the angel of the Lord encamps around me and circles me. All right. Oh, taste and see, he tells the people around him. Who is he talking to? The 3D army. Taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord or worship the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who worship God. Fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Drop down. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? How many of you desire to see many good days? Peter quotes this. This is not irrelevant. It's not a bygone era. In the New Testament, Peter quotes this in 1 Peter 3. He says, based on Psalms 34, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. See good days. See good days. God wants you to see good days. Many, many, many good days. Not bad days. Good days. Not sick days. Good days. Turn to your neighbor, smile and say, and give the Australian greeting. Good day, mate. Many good days. How many good days? God wants you to see how many good days? Many. In other words, long life. No point having long life if many bad days increased. No, many good days. Many long life. Good days. There is an evil day. Thank God it's singular. Ephesians 6, stand therefore in the evil day. Evil day, temporal. Good days. I love it. Good days. Plural. Evil day. Good days. Evil day. Good days. And what's the secret? Refrain his tongue from evil. Go back to Psalms 34. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. No wonder when David shared this, those who were distressed, in debt, discontented around him, they became the mighty men of David. At the end of David's life, this was the account in 2 Samuel 23. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Because of time, I'll go real fast. This Josheb, he was called Adino. He killed 800 men at one time. They became giant killers like David. Hey, this is the anointing of God on them. And this one person, at one time, say one time. At one time, not like throughout his years, he killed 800 men. How about all of us who come to Jesus? You will save the souls of 800 men. One of you. Just one of you. All right, drop down. Okay, Eleazar. All right, when the people of Israel retreated, when the Philistines gathered to battle, he arose, attacked the Philistine, and his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory, and the people returned only after the victory. One person made the difference, one of the mighty men of David. Drop down to another person, Shammah. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Hey, you have your possession, you have your children, they are your lentils. You have your inheritance, they are your lentils. You have your house, it's your lentil, it's your ground. Is the devil trying to steal your children, your ground, your wealth, your blessings? Stand your ground. Like this mighty man of David, he stationed, the people fled, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. And go on, you know, all the way down, I can tell you a story of a guy who fought with a lion in during snow time in a pit. You know how difficult it is to fight with a lion without snow? Without a pit even, in the open, let alone fighting a lion on a snowy day in a pit. You hear roar, and you're quiet. Who comes out? The mighty men of David. These are the men that were in distress. They were in debt. They were all discontented. And now they are the mighty men of David. Whatever they kill today, we heal. That means you have an impact on 800. Another one has an impact on 400. Another one has an impact on 1,000. Just one of you. Are you listening, church? Jesus said, Matthew 11, come to me. This is the greater David. All you who labor and are heavy laden. It's like he's saying, I don't care. You are in debt, in distress. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Now look at this. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. I feel like the Lord wants to set people free. Number one, don't forget when David wrote this psalm, all right, he was in fear. he was full of stress, full of anxieties. And the people that came to him looked to him as to what he would do. And the Bible says he turned to the Lord with this psalm. Would you do me a favor, please stand to your feet at this time. We're going to sing this psalm over you. We're going to sing this psalm over you. And believe God will set you free. I'm believing God that you will be set free. I believe cancers will be healed. Tumors will disappear. I'm believing God, deaf ears will be unstopped. Jesus is about to put in the key, all right, and set you free. And when he opens, no one can shut. And when he shuts, no one can open. Look to the Lord. At all times, I will bless him. His praise will be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble man will hear of it. The afflicted will be glad and join with me to magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together forever. I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Let us exalt his name together forever. Oh, sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Now listen, those of you who are fearful, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear his name to save them and deliver them from harms. Though lions roar with hunger, we lack for no good thing. No wonder that we praise him with our song. Let us exalt his name together forever. I saw the Lord, he heard me, he delivered me from my Holy Spirit says to all of us, come children, now and hear me. If you would see long life, just keep your lips from wickedness and lies. Do good and turn from evil. Seek peace instead of strife. Love righteousness. And God will hear.
sing his praises, magnify the Lord. Jesus, put in your key, Lord. Open the door of health. Open the door of healing. To health, from death to life. Today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cancel the sentence of death against you, against your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loosed upon you the breath of God, the breath of life, the healing of Jehovah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Be free, be healed, be well. Ooh. Bless the Lord our God, oh holy is his name. He's the King of kings, he's the Lord of lords, eternal God supreme. Hori araba sere la 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 masore lere basen daraba san pranai. Just receive that anointing on your life. Lift your hands, people. Let the anointing set you free. Don't struggle. Just let God have his way. Sere la barabere sere mandere masara mantoko mria la basere la mantara basere la mantai. Be free from your fears in Jesus' name. He loves you. The Lord loves you. And his perfect love casts out fear. My friend, you are not alone. You are not alone in a cave. The Lord is with you. Shekara basara manta karabato dere basara bakabara mabera of kings, the Lord of lords, eternal God is here. Shiria la 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 ma seria la batere ora babara mante sekiria la bashempra bakantara ba. Jesus, Jesus, the Son of David. the root and offspring of David. Open doors, Lord. Open doors of favor, doors of abundance, doors of the faith, doors of utterance, doors of your goodness, Lord. Doors of life and health, doors of many, many good days. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all the people say, now real quick, all the way from circle 2, circle 1, and stalls, do a big wave. If you know pain has left your body, something has happened to you, do a big wave of glory to Jesus. Look around you. Look at all these people. Look at all these precious people. Give praise to God, church. Everywhere that's watching this, Jesus has healed you. He has touched you. We can't see what God is doing, but we know God has touched you. You don't have to let me know, but you can let the people know just by waving where you are, that Jesus may receive the glory. Amen, church. Come on, church, give him praise. Now just remain standing. If you are here, my friend, and you do not know forgiveness of sins, you do not know this greatest son of David who said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You are depressed, you are cast down. Come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. If that is you, wherever you are, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me right now, to invite Jesus Christ, the one who has the key of David, into your life. Would you do that? Pray this prayer from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me, for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all my sins. His precious blood washes me clean. You raised him from the dead. He is alive today, and I thank you. All my sins are forgiven. I am righteous by the blood. I am under God's favor. And I thank you, Father, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life from this day forth, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen. Now listen, please be seated. Praise the Lord. Church, there's a special prayer I want to pray. There are a number of people believing God for babies. Some of you have been disappointed. And I know some people have gone through even 2-3 miscarriages. Let me tell you this. This is the year of open wombs. I want to pray for all of you for this week. I want you to know something. You don't travel this week alone. The Lord is your shepherd. Amen. You are following him. Don't worry about the future. All right. Don't worry about things that happen to people that don't have a shepherd. You do. You have a shepherd. So let's believe and thank your shepherd. He will bring you through this week. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you this week. Amen. People, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Abraham and the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And those of you who are believing God for a baby this year, this is your year. I speak that word over your life. Womb, be open in the name of Jesus. I speak to you, parents, you will be blessed parents of a joyful, blessed, anointed baby. I speak supernatural conception to you in the name of Jesus. Not only supernatural conception, but a full 9 months of freedom from the curse, from inconveniences, from all that came on women as a result of the fall. You are free from it in Jesus' name. And you will bring forth that baby with ease, with supernatural ease in the name of Jesus. I speak supernatural childbirth when the time comes. And I speak to your baby. Baby, you'll be like David with a heart after God. You'll be a wonderful baby, always healthy, strong, growing up in the wisdom and the stature that God himself gives. In the name of Jesus, sorrow no more. The name of Jesus has set you free. And the Lord keep you throughout this week, people.
from dangers, harm, unforeseen accidents, and dangers, you and your loved ones. Your shepherd preserve, guard, and defend you in Jesus' name. Never feel unloved. In a world that makes you feel cold and rejected, in a world that does not care but for themselves, remember the Lord loves you and the Lord cares for you. You may be in the world, but you're not of the world. So don't expect the things that come on the world to come on you. You belong to a different kingdom. You're a child of the King, and you are sheep of His pasture. The Lord is your shepherd. You will not lack. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, God bless you, church. Amen.